You just got into a solid relationship. You trust them. You know their love language. Everything seems great. Well, until you start doubting it. Are they the one for me? Am I wasting my time? Will all this come crashing down? It's called relationship anxiety, and it's a real thing. So how do you deal with it? You may have a narrow idea about this, but let's go beyond. It feels so good to be back to this podcast. To be honest, consistency has been our main problem going to last year. Obviously, the podcast took a hit, but it was not in vain. We expanded our community. We grew on Instagram and TikTok. We started live shows. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to give you some great news about our third installment of the live shows, which is happening very, very soon. On this episode, we're going to do it a bit different. I'm going to tell you about the podcast, what I plan for it, but we're going to get into the main agenda, which is the Q&A session that I asked you guys to ask me on my Instagram about life, relationships, about love, and so that we can dive in and, you know, just expound on them. I took a few that I was bold enough or that I knew I had an idea of, did some research, and here's what I have for you. But before that, beyond with Minor Mind. My main intention, even when I started last year or when I rebranded it last year, it was simple: to have conversations that go beyond the ordinary, to extract the extraordinary. One of my favorite things to do is to have a sit down with someone and dive into their perspective and get some insight and know more about them than I knew on surface area. And that's what we're going to try and do this year. We're just going to make sure we try and upload an episode every week on Monday morning. So if that sounds interesting, please subscribe, because the bigger the channel, the bigger the podcast, the more easy it is to lure similarly interesting guests and guests who are worthy to have their stories told right here on this platform. Without much further ado, let's get to the questions. What's the best life lesson that you have so far? I love this question because it's very short and sweet. I've lived for 23 years. What has been my biggest life lesson? I think my big life lesson has been this humble yet bold idea that I am a vessel. I am an instrument. I talked about this during my last live event that was in October. In essence, everything that you have abstract in terms of talents, gifts, special skills, they don't come from you. They go through you. As a believer, it's an understanding that God is using you and showing off with you. You are merely an instrument. So that's one idea. But what does it mean when you extrapolate it? It means that for you to be able to allow yourself to be used. And by the way, one of my biggest prayers coming into this year was, God, please shield me from things that are not good for me. For you to allow yourself the opportunity to be used and be used to your full potential, you have to cleanse your mind, body, and soul. You have to cleanse all compartments in quotes, of your life, all compartments of your life, for you to have a smooth flow and be used and utilized as a vessel. What does that mean? You cannot say that you are okay physically if your mental state is taking a toll. You can't say that you are okay mentally if your spiritual state is taking a toll. You can't even say that you're okay as a self, as an individual, if your social life is taking a toll. You are an indivisible whole. That means that your arms cannot operate without your head. Your mental cannot operate without your physical. Your physical cannot operate without your spiritual. Your spiritual cannot thrive without your emotional. Your work life may not be thriving if at home you're having trouble. At home may not be thriving if your work life is in trouble. Basically, you are an indivisible whole. And I think that, for me, has been one of my major lessons, to understand that and then narrow it down to the mere fact that you're an instrument. So please, cleanse your body. Get rid of those habits. And I think that alone places you at a position of the universe showing off with you, of God showing off with you and being utilized fully, because you worked on yourself, and that's more than enough to enable you to shine a light to the rest and impact people around you? How do you know that a guy is sending you signals, yet you don't talk that much, maybe a few times a week? My first instinct reading this was, you know, consistency. You know, yeah, as long as a guy is consistent with you, that's the easiest way to know that they love you. And to be honest, that's true. Like, for any guy, consistency is a clear show of interest. And I think it goes both ways. It's a quid pro quo. Similarly, if a lady is consistent with you, there is enough reason to believe that there is interest. But why that question is not simple as that answer sounds, I hope I'm making sense with that statement, is because I genuinely feel like today's man is more confused than previous generations. And again, I talked about this in my live show. And here's what I mean by that. I feel like today's, you know, our peers, our generations, people who are becoming men in this time of age, we have split ideas thrown into us. So there's this aspect of life that tells us, there's a traditional idea of being a man. Don't show any emotion. You have to be the man. You have to take responsibility. You have to protect. You have to provide. You have to have a killer instinct. Everything sets, begins, and stops with you. That's what our fathers and forefathers grew up knowing, right? And then there's this other idea that is more tantalizing, that as a man, you don't have to have it all figured out. You know, you can cry. You can be emotional. You can be vulnerable. You can open up. What ends up happening is, first of all, you're confusing this guy because he has two pulling opposites that seem to be communicating, because at the core of every man, there's a primal instinct to just be manly. Honestly, there's no other word to describe that. So there is that pool of opposite forces. But what happens also is that the same society that is telling the man to be vulnerable doesn't know how to deal with a man who is crying, because traditionally, a man doesn't cry. So that sounds like a tangent, but it brings me to this question. For a guy who is old enough, who has his thing going on, who has that primal instinct, because at every guy, there's a primal instinct to chase, to provide, to protect. There's just a primal thing. And I think most men suffer more out of the knowledge that they can't provide, or they can't protect, or they can't be there. That hurts them more than anything else. The truth is, most men will let you know from the beginning. It doesn't have to be directly, hey, I want you. But they will make it clear that they do. Their job will be to surprise you with how they show you that they do. So the precedence, again, will be set that you're the one, you are chosen. And henceforth, I will be putting all my energies to try and make and lure you in. It's like animals. We are animals. I'll be using all my energies to lure you in. How I do that will be the surprise, but you already know that you're wanted. Someone who is genuinely into you, they will show up when you expect them to, and they will also show up when you least expect them to. And once you see that, it's like, wow, there is something. It's like you can perceive that palpable interest from them. And I think that's how you know. You give a lot of you by creating this safe space. What do you do to fill your cup? First of all, thank you for noticing the work that I do. If you're not familiar, again, I create emotive content that is very relatable to many. I think we accrued over 300,000 followers, both on Instagram and TikTok, last year alone. Remember, I started creating actively in 2021, around July. So by the end of last year, we had accrued that. We had amassed over 10 million views on some videos combined. And that is true blessing. What many people don't understand is, and this, to be honest, I do need the content just as much as you do. The fact that you relate with what I'm creating means that to some extent we think alike. And I can tell you for a fact, before I put out anything, I've sat down with it, I've internalized it, I've meditated, I've thought about it deeply. I've put myself in such situations, and it's such a cathartic experience to just put yourself in there and and have that meditative flow state. You know, when you're creating, when you're playing music, when you're writing, and ideas are just coming, and it's like you're overwhelmed with this phenomenon that is happening at that particular time. Partly that's my way to fill my cup. But here's the other thing that I noticed. It's an autocatalytic process. What does that mean? It means that it's a process that feeds on itself. And I want to give you this secret gem for any, especially if you're an audience to any creative that you look up to. Go a step further and tell them what that content means to you. Tell them in detail. In fact, tell them a specific. Tell them what you like about it. Because the process of content creation is a process that feeds on itself. It means I create something, I put it out there, and your reaction to that something, and especially in detail, leave alone the liking and putting fire emojis under the comments, go a step further, get into their DMs and tell them specifically how it affected you. That simple process that gives and then feeds on itself is a way of filling a creative's cup. It's an autocatalytic process. So you may not be knowing. Sometimes you're compelled to get into the DMs and be like, oh my goodness, Minor, this piece, help me like this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It may be a natural flow of state on your end because it's a process that feeds on itself. But in a very subtle way, you're filling my cup every time I'm reading this comments, every time I'm reading the feedback. It only makes me think broader and sort of know that this tiny thing that I'm trying to build, this tiny thing that means a lot to me, means similarly a lot to someone else who is out there. And I always have this idea for all content creators, even when you're starting out, like myself, when I was starting out, I still am trying to build something. When you're starting something and you might feel so awkward, you might feel so out of place, but you have to understand that when you're creating, for as long as you think like you do, there are 10 other people who think like you. And then there are 10 other people who think like this other 10. And then there are 10 other people who think like this other 10. In essence, your job is to create a piece of content, provide so much value into this first bunch of 10, focus on them with all your might, with all your mind and soul, and then it will be their job to get you the other 10. What am I trying to say? You put so much value into that, that you compel them to share your content. And that is when the process starts feeding on itself. That's when as a creative, you start feeling like your cup is being filled because you are sharing a part of yourself. It's a very vulnerable process. It's a very emotive process. But once you start seeing people reacting to that, people telling you that it's actually important what you're doing, your cup overflows. Biggest takeaway you carried from 2022 that you will carry through 2023. I think the lesson that I really learned was it seems like it's hard the first time because it actually is. The first time will always be hard. Example. This episode, obviously, because it has been a while since I recorded a podcast episode. This is the fourth recording of the same episode. Again, the first time was shit. The second time was similarly it. The third time I recorded and lost the footage. Fourth time, here we are. So the first time will always be hard. But an extrapolation of that is that failure sometimes is success in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? Last year was the first time we started doing the live shows. And it was an amazing idea that we're going to take what we create online and have people in a room as I record what I do live with them. How amazing that is. I had no idea what to do. The type of content that I do, it's not comedy, it's not a theater play, you can't call it poetry per se, it's not like spoken word, it's content in a poetic way, yes, I agree, but it's different. And so I had no idea. Fine, I'll be on stage, but, you know, mostly my face is always the one on camera. This time, everyone's going to be seeing my whole body. So it was a lot to think about, but more than that, I was micromanaging everything. Despite having paid people to do the job that I was paying them to do, I was still micromanaging those departments. And it took a toll on me. And we spent so much money than we needed to spend. We had no business plan, no return on investment, nothing. So the show was a success in that we did the job that we came to do. We impacted people. We told people that there is something here, which I think resulted to the second live show being a big success. But We made no money. I think I got paid like 20 G's after spending a lot. So we had no return on investment. We I didn't feel comfortable on stage. But this is the other thing. Again, I was so uncomfortable on stage until the audience started feeding me. Remember? Autocatalytic. A process that feeds on itself. So yeah, it was a failure from a personal perspective and the potential that we had at that time. But also, it was the first time, so it was completely hard. And also, the failure that we had then, it was like a masterclass. Because going to the second live show, we not only made money back, we not only had a bigger audience, we not only had myself being comfortable on stage, the team knew what to do, they knew where to go, they knew where we needed to, because it was the same team again. So it was a complete success. And so yeah, the first time will always be hard, but do it anyway. Because without that first time, it's going to be really hard for you to grow. And I always think about it at the end of this year, if we continue doing this podcast consistently every week, we'll be so glad that we started today. How do you find your self-worth amidst a lot of things happening around you that aren't going as planned? A big chunk of this question is things around you not going as planned. And it's so easy in today's world to have an external influence by simply someone saying, you know, that's not really good. This is what it's working out nowadays. Externally, you're influenced. There's so much information overload. You're driving, you're seeing a billboard. You're going through Instagram. This is what everyone seems to be doing right about this time. But self-awareness grounds you. It's a deeper understanding of who you are, what you're trying to achieve. And even though you don't really know who you are, it's a process of questioning every day, every now and then, who am I? And trying to seek that and sieve that. So I feel like self-awareness, even when you hit rock bottom, with self-awareness, you know your potential. You know what you're trying to do. You know what is going wrong. You have an understanding of self. It's a 360 degree view. And again, remember, you're that vessel. So you know yourself. And I think that's probably one of the biggest value additions, when you can understand yourself. So self-awareness precedes change. And once you can start seeking it every day in the tiniest of ways, whether that's creating a routine, understanding self, knowing what works for you, I think that's when slowly your self-value starts to increase. Because that is too much power to have. Imagine knowing you all rounded, that nothing externally can take you off the course of what you're trying to build or who you're trying to become. How do you deal with anxiety in your relationship? And do you have it? Well, to answer the second question, I don't have anxiety in my relationship, to be honest. I was talking to my best friend, my girlfriend, and I was telling her how she makes me feel. It's a very interesting mix of being childish and feeling like a man at the same time. It's like when I'm with her, I can bring down my walls. I can be emotional. I can be vulnerable. But at the same time, I want to hold her hand when you're crossing down the street. I want to open the door. I want to lead the way. It's a very interesting mix of your inner child being triggered and being brought out in a very sweet way, but also your masculinity being accentuated. And I was telling her, I hope I make you feel the same. I hope I make you feel more feminine. Most relationships, it's less about how you feel about the other person. It's more about how they make you feel about yourself. It's about the side of you that they bring out so beautifully. But relationship anxiety is a real thing. It's a state of knowing that your relationship is good, but you start overthinking everything. It's like, you remember that, I don't know if you ever, but when I was younger, it was like, I'm happy now, but if I'm happy now, it means sadness is lacking somewhere. You know, sadness will be coming next. It's like, you're happy today, then you're sad. So if I'm sad, I'm like, yes, I'll be happy in the next few, you know? Similarly, it's like, you know, everything is perfect, but in a weird self-sabotage kind of situation, you start thinking, oh, damn. Could this be a mistake? Will it come crumbling down on me? And I've been thinking about this and I've been reading about it. And it could be a matter of your attachment style. But certain self-awareness again has to do something with it. Because if I'm speaking from a personal point of view, I think getting into this relationship, the timing couldn't be more perfect. Because I have a deeper understanding of self. It is a solid understanding of who I am and where I'm trying to get with my life. In that, even without this person, I will thrive. I was thriving, but they're not my life. They are an additive in my life. It's like having food without salt in it. You can still eat the food, but with the salt, the food tastes so much better. Similarly, for me, even getting into a relationship, and I've talked about this so many times, it was knowing that whoever I'm getting into a relationship with, they are an additive into my life. They are bringing value into my life. And that could be value in any way for you. For some people, it's emotional value. For other people, it's psychological value. I have a best friend, and that was very important to me, that I get someone who is my best friend, someone who out of everyone else knows me inside out, and I can tell them anything and I can feel comfortable and safe around them. And I'm so blessed to have found that. And so when I was reading about relationship anxiety and these uncertainties, it's more of obviously it's anxiety, and you know, going back to our bodies being a vessel. Sometimes they say when your body is unsettling, when your body is chaotic, relax, sit down, breathe in, meditate, slow it down. When your body is lacking, when you're feeling lazy, get up, exercise, punch, run, get your body moving, because your body is simply a vessel. And some of these things, they are problems that we create in our minds slowly, but they're things that we need to take control. The truth is, the future is uncertain. The truth is, anything can happen. And some of the fears are valid. What if it never works out? Would you rather worry about that or take control of the now by knowing where your stand is and knowing who you are as a person and almost buffering yourself? It's like preventing to get into a depressing state rather than trying to cure depression. So it's knowing that we're in a solid relationship. It's founded in this. This could and this could not happen, but we know ourselves. It doesn't mean that without this person, you die. That goes on to a conversation of, even before you get into a relationship, what are you looking for? And where is your stand? Are you looking for a person who comes in to feel a blank space such that they feel it so well that without them, you are done for? In my point of view, it should be that you are a whole human being, a whole vessel, even without this additive. But with this additive, you sound so much better. But even without them, you are still a fully functional vessel. You have worked so much into your self-awareness. You know your standards, because also that helps you know the type of person that you're going for. Not being dependent on someone to the extent that they become your new life. Because with that, I reckon your anxiety is heightened. What if they leave? They're all that I have. What if they leave? But knowing that they're an additive, that they are a great addition into your life and not necessarily your life, I think there is so much more comfort and so much more peace in the mind. And especially when you're fully worked on yourself. And I'm so big on that idea of working on yourself and being self-aware, because to be honest, you also attract things that are like you. And I think for me, that's why I feel in this relationship like I'm really peaceful. I'm really at peace, because I know the person that I'm dealing with, we share so much in common in terms of our beliefs in life. She's not a creative or she's not a content creator, but we share so much similarities in terms of our principles, in terms of what we want for the future, in terms of how we look at the future. It is amazing. And I think having that came because for 3 years that I was not in a relationship, I focused on finding myself and I think that attracted someone who saw, almost saw themselves in me. And I guess that's why my inner child is, you know, is accentuated. Similarly, my masculinity is brought out with one, with being around this one person. And because I understand what I was looking for them, it doesn't mean that they now become my entire life. It means that they just become an additive that spices up my otherwise good life. And that's it from this episode. I took the questions that I knew I could expound on, but please go ahead and engage me in case of anything that I missed, in case of anything that you don't agree with my limited perspective. Obviously, I'm learning, and that's why I'm hoping to have guests into this episode, because honestly, I'm looking for experiences and new insights just like you are. I told you that I have good news for you, and next month on the February of 19th, so we haven't officially announced this date yet. In fact, tickets are not yet out on sale. I'm hoping they may be out close after we drop this episode. But on February 19th, we're going to be having our third installment of the live shows. With that being said, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Please consider commenting, leave a comment, share it. If we share anything on Instagram, please tag me on your stories, tell someone to listen. And hopefully the next time I tell you to engage me on my Instagram stories, you will. If I haven't answered your question, trust that I will do that privately. You can ask it again and we can move on with our conversation from then. Otherwise, that's it from here. Remember, with everything that you're going through, with everything that you're trying to get done, please work on going up above and beyond. See you next time.